Good morning, folks. It's good to hear the buzz and the crack as we come to start our service here this morning. I'd just like to welcome everybody here and anybody that is visiting with us. You're also very, very welcome, and any ones that are out there in solid ground, enjoying the service as well, you are also very welcome and very much a part of the service here today. Hopefully you've all got your announcement sheets as you walked in this morning. I just want to highlight a couple of things on them this morning, just to remind you. Solid Rock and Clocky this Wednesday is they're on as usual, but any funds that are given that day are all going towards Christian Aid. So if you are free on Wednesday morning, please make your way down there to Clocky and enjoy the fellowship and also give something there towards Christian Aid as well. Cash for Clobber is happening. It will be on Friday the 17th. If you bring your stuff along on Friday the 17th, there is cash for Clobber bags out there in the festival in a box sitting on the floor. So if you want to rent out your wardrobes and have a good old spring clean, now's the time to do it. I would encourage you to just try and bring the stuff on the 17th and not before, because it then becomes a health and safety issue sitting round the church here. So if you can, do please bring it on the 17th, and the details are on the announcement sheets as well. Also, there is a K4C meeting this week on the 15th of May. Please, if all the leaders and helpers could try and make it along to that, they want to try and get things finalized for Children's Day and things. So if you couldn't make it along to that on the 15th at 7:30 in the coffee bar. And also the Holiday Bible Club meeting is on Monday the 20th. It's the first meeting they're having. Alex is running it this year. So do please, if you can play any part in that, and I mean that sincerely, whether we're young or whatever age we are, you know, you can play a part in the Holiday Bible Club. It just doesn't have to be young people running it, you know, because it is an important part of our mission here at Trinity. And if you can be a part of that, whether you've got your name down the sheet yet or not, please come along to that Monday the 30th of May, 7:30 in the coffee bar as well. And the men's event, Neil did gather up the men last week. If you missed that, he spoke to the men about creating an environment where every man in the congregation could have a mate to talk to. Men's mental health is a serious issue in Northern Ireland. So please feel free to come along to that. And if you know of any men or any young men that would like to come along to that event, it's on the 31st of May. And ladies, don't feel left out, because I know you like to keep fit. So Tear Fund is running a walk that very same night over in Crawfordsburn. And if you want to be a part of that as well, the ladies can go along to that and the men can come down to the men's thing here at Trinity. Neil will be off next week, but his phone will be on silent. So if you do leave him, please leave him a message. He's away on preordination training. Mark Rogers will be preaching here next week. Okay, I think that is me. So let us open up God's word this morning. Let us open up in Revelation. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." Let us all stand this morning and let us sing our first hymn of praise, "Jesus is the name we honor." Couple of announcements I did forget. If any of you know of any girls aged 12 to 15 who would be interested in going on a girls' adventure camp during the summer, this is a week-long camp from the 13th to the 20th of July in Kilbroney Forest in Ross Trevor. Details can be found in the Scripture Union website, or you can speak to Zara, who is one of the leaders, for more information. And the other announcement, Holly is going to come up and just tell us all about it.
Hi, so I'm just here to give you a little bit more information about the 5-day club that's happening this year. So 5-day club is a club that runs over 5 days, if the name doesn't give that away enough. So it runs in 6 areas. So in Ballywalter, Grey Abbey, Clocky, Port of Vogie, and Kirkcubbon and Ballyhalbert. It's taking place from the 17th to the 21st of June this year. And the club is for P1 to P7s. So we take Bible lessons, memory verses, quizzes, songs, and of course some games. So I first took part in the 5-day club about 3 or 4 years ago. So when I first went, I was a wee bit nervous about what I was going to do. So I just helped with the kids, played some games with them. But over doing it every year, my confidence has really grown, and so I'm now able to be more involved in it. And so this year, Hayley's asked me to kind of co-lead it with her, so that's a wee bit exciting. So we have a meeting this Thursday, the 16th at 8 o'clock, and that's in the youth room for anyone who would like to take part as a leader this year. So if you come along, it doesn't mean, you know, that you signed up. You can come along, hear a wee bit more information about the club, and then make your decision if you would like to help us out this year. So I just hope to see you all there. Thank you.
Thanks, Holly. That is come to God, and let's come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we want to praise you today. We want to know and understand that you are exalted King on high. And we want to praise you today, for you are exalted, forever exalted, and we will praise your name. You are Lord. Forever your truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in your holy name. You are exalted, King, exalted on high. Father, we want to thank you for what we have, the creation that is around us, all that stands, all that we see, all that we hear. Father, we thank you for it. And we pray, Father God, that we will look after it in a way that we should. And Father God, who are we that you should be so mindful of us? Who do you see that's worth looking our way? We are free in our ways that we never should. Father God, just forgive us for the things that we have done wrong. Change our hearts, O God. Make us more like you. For you, Lord God, are the potter. We are the clay. Father God, mold us and make us more like you, we pray. Even in a world that is full of worldly things that so easily take us away from you, Father God, we pray that you'll continue to mold us, shape us, Father God, in the way that you would want us to be. Forgive us for the things that we do wrong. And there is many things in our lives that we do wrong. Things that we don't even know we're doing wrong. Things that perhaps, Father God, we put in the way of not coming to you, of putting in the way of our relationship with you. Father, we hand them over to you now. And Father God, we just pray that you will lift us up today. And Father God, that your name will be honored. Your name will be glorified in everything that we do. And as we open your word today, Father God, may we go out and know that we have met with you. Father God, we pray these things in your mighty and powerful name. Amen. As some of the prayer ministry team were meeting there just before the service, I got this real sense of polish. And I got a real sense that there was someone out there that was very low in their faith, someone that just needed to come and just let the prayer ministry team pray with them. And if you feel that you are that person this morning, we'll be around at the end of the service, and please feel free to come around the church here, and we'll certainly talk to you and help you in that. We're going to sing our second hymn of praise this morning, and it's called The Potter's Hand.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful. Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely just to see God's house so well filled this morning. And we're going to invite you now to come and join together as we read God's word together. And we're reading this morning from Luke chapter 5, the first 11 verses. See, Glenn's got it fixed. He's fixed my mistake there. It was 1 to 10 down in Clocky, but that was my mistake. We're reading to the 11, so he's that done. Well done, boy. And today we're looking at what it means again to give your life to Jesus. Last week we looked at what it means to be saved, to be that salvation on your life. And then today is the next natural step. It's what does it mean to follow Jesus? So this passage is probably in your Bible. It's entitled The Calling of the First Disciples. So these were the first people that Jesus says, come and follow me. And as followers of Jesus, we're going to see what God has to speak to us today through this passage. So let's just come together and read God's word. One day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats. They were left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they were full and they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on the shore. They left everything and followed him. Amen. And we ask God to bless us. Boys and girls, whenever you give your life to Jesus and you become a follower of Jesus, you can be called a different groups of people. So in the Bible, there's talks about sheep. You've all heard talking about God as the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. You've heard that, yeah? And how we are his sheep. Well, there's another really, I think, a really cool group that we sing about and it talks about in the Bible as well. That whenever we give our life to Jesus and we follow him, we become soldiers in his army. And God needs an army because the devil's out there and he's bad. And God's army is good. And there's this battle against good and bad. And it helps us to decide what's right and what's wrong. And we're going to sing now about what it means to be in God's army. We're going to stand up and sing, I am in the Lord's army. Now, there's some actions to this. Absolutely, that's a good idea if I haven't planted into my wife again. I'm good at that. Bluffer, you're right. You're also going, he's a bluffer. You are absolutely right. Boys and girls, you want to come down to the front as we sing this, and we'll do all the actions together. And then you're going to go out. Come on ahead. I'm going to come down with you. No, you have to stand up down here. You have to stand up and do these because we're going to be, I may never march with thee. Not the first word. Aye. Come on, up on here and you're looking this way. Come on, we're going to show these people how it's done. Stand up here and face that way. We need to come, there's more coming. We need to come over this way a wee bit. Come, these girls over here. There we go. BB boys, let's show you how to march, girls. Don't worry about that. This is going to be a fight next. So even a step. Brilliant. Ride horses. Did you ever see a horse riding like that before? Never ridden a horse before. Oh, that's the one. Pow, 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 pow. The rifle. Oh, it's a handgun. It's a handgun.
So, and whenever you hear, I'm in the Lord's army, then you go,
yes sir. Okay. You have to salute. Put your hand up like that. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
And shout out, yes, sir, okay?
Yes.
Got that?
Yes. What did he say? Get on, mate. That's what he said. Let's go. And everybody else, you're doing the actions too, by the way. And if you don't, I'll have you down here doing them so you know the crack. Like, let's get on our feet, folks. We're going to continue to worship God now with our tithes and our offerings, so your offerings will now be received. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do thank you for our service of worship, and Lord, just for being here together to just sing your praises and just go through all of the motions, as it were, Lord. But we know, Lord, we're not just going through motions here. We are worshiping a great and mighty God who blesses us in many, many ways. You have blessed us, Lord, financially, and we are so thankful that we have this opportunity to give some of that finance back, Lord. And we are excited to know that people will know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior because of this offering. So, Lord, we pray you would bless it for your glory, for that's the reason why we give it, to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I think it was about four Sundays ago that we did for the first time a little slot in our prayers for others called This Time Tomorrow. And we want to, once a month, bring someone up who's going to share with us what they're going to be doing this time tomorrow. And I hope it goes better than it did in Clockie, because it was Alison Smith, and she goes, well, don't need to pray for me this time tomorrow at 10:30, because we'll be sitting drinking tea and coffee. That's their coffee breaks at 10:30. But I've asked Tutu to come up, and Tutu's going to share with us, number one, what she does, and then what she'll be doing this time tomorrow. So, Tutu. So, there we go, you're at the side. Tell us a little bit about what's your job and what do you do, first of all?
I'm a family and criminal law solicitor, mostly. I also do litigation. So, I deal with people when they need help in their life or when they are not happiest, and I walk with them through the problems that they have.
Wow. So you would see across your desk then, and you're talking to people who are really, well, mostly when we're going to solicitors, we are in problems, but sometimes we go there to move house, which is a great thing, but you're dealing with people who are really, really in trouble then. So.
Yes, I am dealing with people who their marriages or their relationship is not where they planned it to be, where their children are not in the position they would love them to be, or where for no reason of no intention of theirs, or by lifestyle choices, they have come into a position where they have come brushed with the law, as we will think about it, criminal law. So they have got in trouble with police, and basically they need somebody to walk that road basically with them, because it is not somewhere, it's not a place any of us want to be, to have to go to court and have to stand up and say something or be questioned. I have the privilege to work with people in those situations.
So obviously then you're dealing with that a lot every day then too. So you're hearing about all these. So that's sometimes baggage that's very hard to let go of. So we do want to pray for Tutu. But what will you be doing 1 minute past 12 tomorrow, roughly?
The plan I have tomorrow is I need to write one of my client's statement, her response to the court, because we're in court the week after. And this is a woman who unfortunately is in disagreement with her ex-partner in relation to their child, and the court has to decide something to do with the child. So they both have different stories and different side of the issue. And unfortunately, this particular child does have special needs. So there is really, really a need to put that child's needs in the middle, in the center of all the things that will be done. That it doesn't matter what the parents feel. It's what is best for the child that really comes.
So obviously, there's going to be somebody who feels they're the loser and somebody who feels, and there's a little child stuck in the middle. So folks, let's tomorrow at midday, let's just pray for Tutu as she sits at her desk and tries to put this child with special needs in the middle of a situation between two adults that have fallen out and not the child's fault. And let's pray for everyone who's involved in helping families. Obviously, this is the very legal side of it. There's counsellors. There's people in our own congregation who do pastoral visitations, or there are elders and myself. There's lots of people dealing with families that are breaking down, and people who are just not getting on the best, and quite often there's little kids involved in the middle. So, Tutu, we will be praying for you tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Well, let's come to God now in prayer as we pray for others. We will pray for Tutu and some folks and other things as well. So let's just bow our heads now and unite our hearts in prayer. Lord God, we do thank you that you call and equip people like Tutu and others. Like Alison Smith, who shared with us this morning in Clocky, Lord, working in family law there as well. These families, Lord, that have just got to the point where they cannot sort things out themselves. And quite often this is the case, Lord, where children are left then as collateral damage almost in this battle between their parents. So we pray real peace, Lord, for these families and all families that are struggling. And we pray, Lord, for everyone who's helping them to find the way forward. And we know, Lord, sometimes the way forward is not reconciliation, but it is the fact that families split up. And Lord, we just pray for them that as that happens, that they would find a real middle ground and a real peace between them at this time. Lord, we just thank you that we are drawn here in families and as one big family unit. And we thank you, Lord, that you're calling many to come together and make new families. And we've lots of weddings, Lord, planned this year. And Lord, we've just celebrated one yesterday down in Clocky. And we want to pray for Rodney and Valerie Orr. Lord, we thank you for bringing them together at this point of their life, Lord, and just blessing them. And we pray your blessing on their marriage. And Lord, we have a few couples who are going to be married in this building in the weeks and the months over the summer, and we just pray for their preparations, Lord, and that you'd be speaking to them, helping them to focus on the main thing, that you are joining them in holy matrimony, your ordinance. And we want to pray for marriage, Lord. We want to pray for what it means, Lord, in these days. There are many who are trying to dissolve it, dilute it, make it into something else. Lord, help us to defend it as your ordinance, your invention. You created it. Your purpose was to bring men and women together in that bond where two become one. And Lord, we know when there's a third party involved in the marriage, quite often from a human perspective, that's a problem. But we know that you want to be involved. So help us, Lord, to be reminded in our own marriages and remind everyone else that that cord of three strands that Solomon wrote about, Lord, is not easily broken. You are that strong cord, Lord. So may you be evident in all of the marriages represented here, Lord, and all of those families, Lord. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for the peace and the unity that we can have in our marriages. And we pray for that peace and unity, Lord, in the world around us and in our own part of the world here in Northern Ireland as we hear of our politicians getting around tables and starting talks. And we pray, Lord, that that would be a process that would end in something positive, Lord, for the sake of our health service and all the stresses and strains that they're under because there's no government. We think of education, Lord, and the financial difficulties that, that all of the head teachers and the teaching staff are trying to deliver a curriculum and they don't have the money to do it. And Lord, we just pray that you would lead and guide and direct those talks at this time. And as we think of Brexit, the ongoing saga, Lord, of Brexit, we pray that it would find an end soon. We pray that the A deal or some deal or something would happen, Lord, that something would just end this part of the conversation. And we realize, Lord, this conversation will rumble on for many months and even years. But Lord, we just pray that this point, that this impasse, Lord, would be a way found out and found to go forward, Lord. And in our country, Lord, we thank you that we can look back and see that we've come a long way as a little nation here, Lord. And we have lots more peace now than we had when many of us were growing up. But Lord, we see there's little groups of people who are just have an intent to continue to disrupt things. And with the death recently in Londonderry, we pray, Lord, for the ongoing investigation there. We pray that those perpetrators would be found. And we pray for the people in those communities, Lord. When we've read about how they've put up their own posters and covered the posters of the paramilitaries, Lord, we pray for those communities who are standing against this minority as well. Protect them, Lord, as they seek to live peacefully in their own streets. And as we think about our own streets, Lord, at this time of year and the parade season, the marching season, Lord, is upon us, we just ask that they would pass off peacefully, that people would give each other tolerance, Lord, to do what is in their culture and do that, Lord, with a great amount of sensitivity. Lord God, as we come to your word, Lord, we know that it shapes and molds us for the life that you've laid ahead of us. And Lord, in any of these things that we've prayed for today, we pray that we would apply your word as you would shape and mold us here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are continuing today in our series, Giving Your Life to Jesus. And we're talking about discipleship today. And as I thought about this, I thought about that little phrase, and I am sure you have all heard this little phrase. You've maybe used it. It's maybe been used in relation to you. But you know, whenever a child gets into trouble and someone has to bring that child or someone talks to the parent or a grandparent about that child who's in trouble, you know the wee saying that comes up, don't you? Oh, they're not a bad wee creature. They're just somebody's laughing already, they know. They're just easily led. They're just easily led. Maybe that was you. Maybe you were in a group and you were the one that was easily led. I've had to go to some doors, especially working with the BB and youth club back home when you've got to talk to parents and the parents are, oh, they're just easily led. And you're going, they're the leader, mate. They're the one that's leading the rest of these wains to do these things. And there's always a leader, isn't there? There's always one that sort of the rest follow. And in actually trying to defend our children this way, we're actually not paying them much of a compliment because what we're saying is our children are so easily led, they can't make up their own mind. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. They don't know when to say no. They just follow the crowd. They'll just follow this one leader. And after saying all that this morning, you know what I'm going to say now? We're going to spend the next wee while. See, I didn't tie myself down to time there. We're going to spend the next wee while talking about what it means to be easily led. Because as disciples of Jesus, we surely want to be easily led. But then this is where the difference is, isn't it? We want to be led in a very different way. We want to be led into a very different crowd and go with a very different crowd. And we want to be led by a very different leader. You see, when you give your life to Jesus in salvation, you become a disciple. We looked last week at what it means to be saved, giving your life to Jesus, the knowledge that you are a sinner separated for all eternity, the knowledge that there is a Savior there who has done everything possible. All you have to do is repent, turn from that wrong life, and turn to another life to be born again, spiritually born from above, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that you can have the assurance that one day you will be in heaven for all eternity. That is salvation. But then this life of discipleship, that is that life to follow on where Jesus left off. To continue the example that he gave us, that's been recorded for us here in the scriptures. It's to go out into the world and to share the good news of the gospel. If you go and look up any dictionary or Google what it means to be a disciple, you'll see something like, a disciple assists in the spreading or the sharing of the teaching of a leader, of a particular leader. That's the world's description. But we don't even have to go to there. We've got the description in the book that we have in front of us. That great commission that we're going to hear a lot of over the next few weeks and months as we approach our time of mission in 2020. Go and make disciples, Jesus says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. There we have it in a nutshell. A saved person has been given the greatest gift ever, and they become a disciple. So you can't sit here and say, well, I'm saved, but I'm not going to be a disciple. You are a disciple. And if you are a disciple, you are saved. You can't be a disciple. You can't say, well, I'm going to go out and work for the church. That means nothing if you're not saved in the first place. Salvation, discipleship, the two together. A disciple is called to follow the greatest leader the world has ever known. Someone surely worth following. So let's turn together to see what it means to give your life to Jesus in relation to discipleship as we open up our Bibles at Luke chapter 5. And we're going to go back into chapter 3 and 4 a wee bit, so it'd be good to get your Bible open and see who this Jesus boy is that's tipped up on the side of this lake and has begun to teach. Because verse 1 tells us there's a crowd there. Jesus was standing by the lake and the people crowded around him. The crowd were so big that he actually got into a boat so that he could go back from the crowd a wee bit and they all could see him. They weren't going to wade in and get their feet wet. So that's what the crowd was so big. That's what, why Jesus was in the boat in the first place, just standing, getting back there so that everyone could see him. But why were they there? Why were they giving Jesus a part of their life, time? Why are they giving them the time to even listen to him? Well, to begin to understand this, we have to go back. Chapter 3 there, you'll see Jesus was baptized. And Jesus' baptism was not a baptism of repentance. It was not a baptism for salvation. What was happening there was Jesus was being ordained as a minister. And when I read this, it sort of reminded me that on Thursday, it was 5 years, folks, since I was ordained here at the front of this church. When members of Presbytery came, and I seen somebody shaking their head going, it seems longer than that. 5 years ago, I was ordained. I know what it means to stand here and have members of this church and members of the Presbytery lay their hands on me and pray so that I could have the right to stand here and have my name on the sign at the front. And that's what Jesus was doing. That's what was happening in his life when he was baptized. I often wondered, why did Jesus just walk around and people went, Rabbi? Where was his theological degree and where was his ordination service? There it was, his baptism. That's why Jesus was able then to walk in to the places and just say, reach me that scroll. I'm going to read, I'm going to preach, I'm going to teach. That gave him the authority to do that. Chapter 4, verse 15. He taught in their synagogues and everyone praised him. So right from the start, there was something about this Jesus that was different. Verse 22, everyone spoke well of him. In verse 32, they were amazed at his authority. In verse 36, they were amazed at his authority and his power over demons. And we read from verses 33 right down to 41, Jesus did lots of healing. He drove out lots of demons. And because of what he was doing, word spread. Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. And then verse 37, the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Because of what Jesus was doing, the news spread about him. But that was not the most important thing for Jesus. When he was out around, Jesus tells us himself what's the most important thing. If you look at chapter 4, verse 43, Jesus says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. The good news of the kingdom of God is the most important thing for Jesus. What Jesus is doing here in this early part of his ministry, he is telling people that the kingdom of God is now here. This long-awaited day that you've known about, that's been prophesied about, it is happening now. Back there in verse 18, he asks for the scroll of Isaiah and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he goes on to say, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus is alluding to the fact that he is the Messiah. But he's not going all the way. There's no mention of the cross here. He's telling these people, there is a big change. That big change you were waiting on is now happening. The demons cried out when they were being exorcised, but Jesus silenced them because it's not yet. It's just starting now, but people were not ready to hear the whole story. Jesus is sitting here in the first three verses. He's sitting on this boat while people are listening to him. I think that's great, by the way. I think we should do that. I should sit and you should all stand. Next week, the pews will be out. There'll be a wee chair down here and you can all just stand around. I think that's a great. We should return to our reformed roots, folks, I think, and instead of you sitting and me standing. But what Jesus is doing here, he's telling these people what is really happening, and they're listening. There's something about him. There's no specifics in these first three verses. But something that Jesus has said, he wants to make a point. He wants to really help them understand what he has just been saying. And he wants to have a miraculous illustration. I love illustrations. But boy, Jesus, he's the man. He is definitely the champion of illustrations. Because his illustration was miraculous. But the interesting thing about this is that Jesus has drawn this crowd. And we've heard a lot about the crowds and what they thought. And the crowds that were gathering around. And the things that Jesus was doing amongst these crowds. But here, the crowd now disappears in this story. The crowd have been listening. And Jesus turns and we hear people being mentioned by name for the first time. Because that's what Jesus does in a crowd. He then draws people out of that crowd. Jesus here instructs these fishermen on how to go out and catch fish. Now, we know, we've been told that the news about Jesus spread throughout the whole region. And this news would have been included. Here in verse 22 of chapter 4, it says, all spoke well of him and they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. But isn't this Joseph's son, they asked. The joiner, Joseph the joiner from Nazareth there. Is that not his young fella? So can you imagine a joiner going down to the harbour in Port of Ogie and telling the fishermen how to fish? I'm pretty sure that would not go down too well. What does this boy know? For all we know, this is the first time he's ever been in a boat and he's only up to the depths of his knees. But wasn't the reaction here in this passage something different? Verse 5, because you say so, Simon says, I will let down the nets. We don't know what Jesus has just been saying, but whatever it is, how Jesus has been saying it, Simon is already hooked. He knows that Jesus is someone who can be trusted and someone who should be obeyed. These men have been out working hard all night and they've caught nothing. I haven't done a lot of fishing, but for me, it's a very depressing thing. If you don't catch a fish, what's the point? But these men were out. It wasn't just something. It wasn't a pastime for them. This was their job. Could you imagine working all night and having no crop, having no lambs, having no milk, having nothing to show for your night's work? Could you think about how depressing that would be? These boys are sitting. They just want to get home and get to bed. But now Jesus is sending them back out into the deep water. And they do that. And the nets are bursting. They have to call their mates over. And the mates bring their boat out as well. And there's that many fish in the thing. The two boats are now sinking. What might Jesus have been teaching about here? What was this illustration meant to highlight? We don't know, but we can only speculate. And I'm going to speculate what I think. I just, as I was putting myself on that shore, I thought, what could Jesus have been talking about? Could Jesus have been mentioning the whole story about Abraham, where this whole promise began? Genesis 22, whenever God says to Abraham, your offspring will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. They will be as many as the sand on the shore. And one of those offspring, one of those singular offspring, will bless all nations on earth. Could that be what Jesus was talking about? If it was, Jesus could have simply said to the people, remember what God said to Abraham about the sand on the shore? Will you stand? Look at all the sand. Look at all of that sand. But what better way to bring that alive than to use something live? Something miraculous. There's nothing miraculous about the sand on the shore. There's just lots of it. These fishermen couldn't catch a thing, and now there's a miraculous catch of fish. A fish that have been caught, never been seen before. Was God saying to these people, there's going to be more people in this kingdom than you can even imagine? Whatever was going on, whatever Jesus was teaching about, whatever that illustration was about, just look at the response from Simon. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. In this moment, Simon knows that there's something holy in front of him. He knows he's a sinful man, and he knows that sin has no place with holiness. In the temples, there's a big curtain, and only one person can go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and they tie a rope around them in case something happens that they can drag them back out. And now he feels that he's standing in the presence of this holiness, and he gets on his knees and he grabs Jesus, or he's at Jesus' feet. He's going, get away, I'm a sinful man. Jesus just looks down at him. He says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Are you here this morning and you're afraid to follow Jesus? Are you here this morning and you're afraid to trust him and obey him the way that Simon did? Are you afraid this morning of what somebody might say about the fact that you are following Jesus? What your schoolmates might think about you as a follower of Jesus, what the people at work might think, what your family might think. There's nothing to be feared in following Jesus. In actual fact, the fear should come from the thought of what will happen if you don't follow Jesus. That's where the fear should be. An eternity without him. The reaction of these fishermen is recorded in Matthew and Mark as well. Matthew and Mark both tell this story as well. And they write things like this: at once, immediately, without delay, Simon, his brother Andrew, and James and John, they followed Jesus. Don't delay, folks. If you're not following Jesus today, then let him draw you out of that crowd, that lost eternity crowd, and into this new crowd that he is starting. Because that's what Jesus does. He creates a new crowd. Simon Peter here and his brother Andrew is there, recorded in Matthew and Mark. Then he goes on and gets James and John, and they follow. Chapter 5, later on that same chapter, he walks along, and Levi, the tax collector, Matthew, he is there, and he follows. He leaves everything. He goes on then, there's a bigger crowd, and he chooses 12 out of them in chapter 6 of Luke's gospel. But these guys here, look at verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on the shore and left everything and followed Jesus. There's something about this Jesus, something that he has taught, something that he has demonstrated, that is much more valuable than this catch of fish. Now think about this catch of fish. This is the bumper harvest. There has never, ever been a catch of fish like this before. And these guys leave it and follow Jesus. And we're given the purpose there in verse 10. The purpose for leaving everything. Leaving everything at once. Leaving everything immediately. Leaving everything without delay is that we would go, that these men would go and catch other men. See that blessing from, this is why I think that Jesus could have been talking about Abraham. That blessing of all nations through that one offspring starts right here in this verse. The first people to follow Jesus. That nation that's going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sand on the shore or more than these fish that these people have just seen. It's not about blood relationships. That's about another group, a family of faith. And we think of what Paul writes in Galatians. He says, consider Abraham. He believed God. It was accredited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe in Jesus are children of Abraham. The scriptures foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. So whenever God said to Abraham, all nations will be blessed, that was the gospel announced. This is the start of it here, chapter 5, verse 11. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Jesus called these men to follow him. And then he taught them. Later on, you can read about that. He taught them. He trained them. He prepared them to what? To go out and share the good news of the kingdom of God. To increase the numbers in this family of faith. On this page here, it's four men. Then it's five. And it's 12. And God then builds them up. He equips them. He empowers them. Then he sends them out to do the things that he was doing. And then in chapter 10, you can read about how he sends out the 72. And what happens? People believe. But as the people join this group and this crowd and as it grows bigger, Jesus tells them straight. He points out the dangers of following. Chapter 12, the cost of following. Chapter 14. And in all of this, it's fair to say that sometimes these disciples were not easily led. Jesus has prepared them for something that they didn't understand. He tries to prepare them for his death, but they don't understand it. They don't get it. They really seem to be struggling in the time when Jesus is arrested, the time that Jesus goes on trial, when he's beaten, when he's crucified, and when he's buried. They just can't get their heads around it. And even when he's resurrected, they don't get it until Jesus stands amongst them and opens their eyes, and then they get it. They're told to wait, and they do. They wait for the Holy Spirit. And when that Holy Spirit was received on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, what happens? Who's the first one to stand up? Peter. This Peter. The Peter from chapter 5. This Peter stands up and he addresses that crowd with the first gospel sermon. What does he do? There's a crowd there. Thousands of people. Hundreds of thousands of people. Jews from all over the known world there for Pentecost. And Peter stands up with a big gospel net and he throws it out over that crowd. And what happens? 3,000 people believe in one event. A new crowd begins out of this big crowd of Jews. And the story goes on then. People are come in as these disciples go out around the known world and Jews and Gentiles become part of this. 3,000 on that day, they continue in the city and they share the good news of the gospel daily. And the crowd grows daily to, we're told there's 5,000 men. So that's only 5,000 men. They only counted the men. There would have been wives and children. We could be talking 10 or 15,000 people here. And that crowd has been growing every single day until today. That's growing today. And it will grow every day until Jesus Christ returns. But we shouldn't be surprised by this. Jesus has told us in John 14, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Plainly. And he says, we'll be doing even greater things, whatever that means. John 15 and 16, Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit, this gift that we're going to have that will empower us to do these greater things. He tells us about how important it is to be connected to the vine. And when we do, we will bear much fruit. Today, folks, this is the same Jesus. It is exactly the same Holy Spirit. And it is the same God working out the same plan. Yes, it looks different. But God wants us to do even greater things, adding more numbers, reaching other people, various different types of people in different parts of their life, whether their lives are falling apart under legal systems or whether people are merrily working away thinking that their life is great when they're on the road to destruction. We are to do greater things by drawing alongside these people. Using whatever means possible to bring them to Jesus. And you know, if you're here this morning, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You're part of the crowd that started here in chapter 5, verse 11. That is a continuous crowd. It wasn't reinvented. It didn't get a new name. It was never under new management. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. This is the church that we meet in, not this building, not this congregation, but we are the Church of Jesus Christ, been continuing from this crowd here. These disciples left everything and followed Jesus. They did not know what lay ahead. We can turn over the pages and we can see the journey that they went on. But because we have the story of the gospel, it doesn't mean that we have it all planned out. We have to follow Jesus, put our faith in him, put our trust in him, and just obey him, because there's lots of things out there that we don't know. We don't know when he's going to come back. We don't know the circumstances. It might not be good according to the scriptures, but we are not sure of the circumstances when Jesus is going to come back. There's lots of things that we don't know, but we must trust him the same way these disciples. And just follow him. Sometimes these disciples were not easily led. Sometimes we're not easily led. Sometimes we're, you know, you ever watch that one man and his dog from years ago? And the wee dog was going out around and trying to get the sheep in, and odd times there were sheep used to scoot away off out of the road. That's us. We're like that from time to time. We're not in God's flock. We're not moving in that general direction where God wants us as a body of believers to be going. But we should move together in fellowship, and God willing, in a couple of weeks when we come back to this, that's what we're going to look at. What does it mean to give your life to Jesus and to be in fellowship together? But when we are out of that fellowship, out of God's will, when we're not where he wants us to be, we must be humble. We must repent when we get things wrong. And you know, folks, we have a God who is patient. We have a God who is forgiving and a God who contends with us. He's been contending with our forefathers for generations. From Luke chapter 5, verse 11, he's been contending with us. And look what he's done. He's made Christianity a worldwide phenomenon. God knows how to get the best out of us. He sent Jesus for a reason. He sent Jesus so that we would have someone to give our lives to say thank you for all that he has done. The purpose then is that we would become disciples and be good disciples, knowing that we're saved for all eternity, that we would continue to draw people from the lost eternity crowd and bring them into the family of faith crowd, right up until Jesus returns, until time is no more. And I see from the clock, our time is up this morning. But please don't let this message that God has given you today just disappear now when you go out through the door. Don't let it even just be a message for today. Let it be a message for your life. Every day of your life, as we continue to follow Jesus. So if you're not following him, don't be afraid to follow him. There's nothing to fear. And if you're following, give him everything. Everything, because he has given everything for us. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your gospel. This good news. Lord, we pray today that it would be bursting out of us in this world that needs to hear about our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. The last piece this morning is I Want to Walk with Jesus Christ. It's got a lovely little 3-4 waltzy lilt to it. So if you want to just grab someone and waltz up the aisles, there's not as much room as there is in Clochy. Nobody took up that offer right enough in Clochy, but you know, this is a lovely old hymn, and the words of this hymn have just summed up, I think, what God's been saying to us over the last couple of days. I want to walk with Jesus Christ. Follow him. Follow him. Let's stand together and sing. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain, abide, unite us both now and forevermore. Amen.